I certainly had come far, but I ought to understand how limited the possibilities of a firm like his were to hire a boy of my antecedents. And while he congratulated me on my progress, I should understand he certainly couldn't offer me a job. But they all enjoyed seeing me and all that. It is clear from the transcript of Bickel's reminiscences that his interviewer does not quite know what to do with that information. Bickel was, by the time of the interview, at the height of his reputation. He had argued cases before the Supreme Court. He had written brilliant books. Mudrow's saying no to Bickel because of his antecedents was like the Chicago Bulls turning down Michael Jordan because they were uncomfortable with black kids from North Carolina. It didn't make any sense. But for stars? The interviewer asked, meaning, wouldn't they have made an exception for you? Bickel. Stars, schmars. In the 1940s and 1950s, the old line law firms of New York operated like a private club. They were all headquartered in downtown Manhattan, in and around Wall Street, in somber, granite-faced buildings. The partners at the top firms graduated from the same Ivy League schools, attended the same churches, and summered in the same oceanside villages on Long Island. They wore conservative gray suits. Their partnerships were known as white shoe firms, in apparent reference to the white buck's favorite at the country club or a cocktail party. And they were very particular in whom they hired. As Irwin Smigel wrote in The Wall Street Lawyer, his study of the old-line New York legal establishment, they were looking for lawyers who are Nordic, have pleasing personalities and clean-cut appearances, are graduates of the right schools, have the right social background and experience in the affairs of the world, and are endowed with tremendous stamina. A former law school dean, in discussing the quality students needed to obtain a job, offers a somewhat more realistic picture.